AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, Friday nights, always the biggest and the best in sports. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Always love to hear from our listeners. You can join us on Twitter, at eRadioSports, info, eRadioSports.com, podcastarena.com, and we have got an amazing program over the next 2 hours. We're going to do a full recap, Super Bowl 54. Also, we're going to dive into where will Tom Brady be and playing in 2020. Also, we'll carve out some time for some PGA news and notes. Webb Simpson with his big win at the Waste Management. But right now, let's pot up the mic and visit with our producer, and that is Robert Harris. Give him a follow on Twitter at Robo Harris Jr. And I know we're going to take time, Bobby, to break down Super Bowl 54. But at the forefront of my mind is, you know what, the NBA trade deadline. It is now in the rearview mirror. It is come and gone. And your Rockets making some mighty moves with that 12-player trade. Give us, what was the motivation? What was the goal, the ultimate goal here for your Rockets?
I think the Rockets organization realized that they couldn't win with Clint Capella. I mean, yeah, they are 9-1 without him in the lineup this season. So they just felt like, we just want to deal him off and let's play small ball. Kind of relate to how the game is for the NBA. I mean, you're a big man and you can't shoot threes. I think you're just not an item no more in the NBA, which is so crazy for me to say that. So I just think the Rockets just want to deal Clint Capella. Didn't really see him as a franchise player anymore. Didn't even see him a part of the organization.
You know, there's a lot of good teams in the Western Conference. So do you feel some trepidation or some anxiety now when you face some of those big boys? When we think about, just think about how well LeBron is playing right now, but they've got AD. I mean, when you've got a big man down low, how are the Rockets? How are they going to counter that?
In the words of Shaquille O'Neal, barbecue chicken. I mean, it's going to be a long day for P.J. Tucker if he does matches up against Anthony Davis. I think the Rockets will get out-rebounded every game, say the least.
So how do you see them finishing out 2020? Because now things are really going to heat up, and they've got to be playing with a sense of urgency.
They will make the playoffs. They'll make at least the fifth seed, and who knows what will happen.
Okay, good stuff coming your way here in Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our conversation with our producer, Bobby, in Hour 2. So come on back, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always got to take time to recognize the folks that make it happen at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hey, as promised, it is time to go inside the ropes, and we are always thrilled to have back with us from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, and that is Bill Rozinski. Good to have you back on the show, Bill.
It's been a long time, Alyssa. Nice to be back with you.
Thank you. Well, listen, it has been a very big week in golf. And before we look ahead to this weekend's action, Bill, I know you covered the NFL for many, many years. We wanted you to weigh in and give us your takeaways on the Chiefs' first Super Bowl win in 50 years. Another impressive comeback, right?
Yeah, in fact, when it was funny, I was watching the game, and I was actually out in Phoenix covering the Waste Management Phoenix Open for PGA Tour Radio, and had to listen to the first quarter coming back from the golf course on the radio. So I saw quarters 2, 3, and 4 back in the hotel room. And when it was 20-10 Niners, I thought, okay, the Chiefs have them right where they want them.
Mm-hmm.
It was their story all postseason, the ability to, you know, spot some team and lead and then come back and win. And they did it. It was a fun game. It was the type of game I thought we'd see. I thought might see a little bit more scoring, but that, you know, the Niners defense is pretty good and the Chiefs defense got better the second half of the season. So came down to a couple plays here and there. And, I thought Damian Williams should have been the MVP, but I didn't have a vote. So,
You know, Bill, through the years, I mean, you covered some terrific quarterbacks. In your mind, what makes Patrick Mahomes so great?
Well, there could be a number of Super Bowls in his future. You know, a lot of this depends on his health and the health of his key players. And can they continue to, you know, do they have a Super Bowl hangover? You know, I live in Charlotte. And it wasn't that long ago when the Panthers went to the Super Bowl with Cam Newton that everybody thought, well, this is going to be, it's a young team. They're going to go on a run here. That never happened. So, but I think what makes Mahomes unique is his ability to, you know, manufacture plays and make throws on the run. I don't know if he improvises a lot, but he's got the ability to keep a play alive and follow his progressions and make some big plays. He's got a great arm. And I think he's got a coach that believes in him. And, you know, a coach who will, you know, there was early in that game, they went for it on fourth down, and that's because Mahomes talked his coach into it. So there's a lot that goes in. Yeah, and it's, I've heard this Alyssa from so many people doing the NFL over the years. It's hard to win in the NFL. It's so difficult. And for the Patriots to have been on the run that they were on just shows you how unique an organization that is. We'll see if the Chiefs can do it. There's a lot of good young quarterbacks in the league, and Mahomes is at the top of the list along with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore. So there's I think we're heading into a good place as some of these older quarterbacks near retirement.
Bill, you're exactly right. It is hard to win in the NFL. And so what did we learn about as far as the Chiefs and seeing them consistently overcome these double-digit deficits? We saw it against the Titans, the Texans, and the 49ers.
Well, I think it's the ability that no score is too big a deficit to come from behind, whether it's 24 points or 10 in the Super Bowl. And let's not forget, Alyssa, the agony the Chiefs have gone through for a long, long time of being a really good football team and not be able to get it done in the postseason. You know, just a year ago, we were talking about them losing to the Patriots in a game that a lot of people thought they should have won. So this wasn't like this team came out of nowhere. I mean, they've been building on this for a long time, and they've been a good football team for a long time.
Our special guest tonight from SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio, that is Bill Rosinski, joining us at SB Nation. So let's move ahead. You had just mentioned last weekend you were there covering the Waste Management Open, and Webb Simpson edges Tony Finau in that playoff to win. How impressive was that finish by him? And he was a birdie machine at the end.
No, he was, and it was, because I followed those guys a lot during the week, and I had them for every hole on Sunday, being with the last group. And it was interesting because Webb had played the last three holes, 16, 17, and 18, the first 3 days, one over par. He hadn't done anything on those holes, even though 17
That's
and
right.
18,
yes.
You know, are really good birdie holes. And 17, of course, is a par four that a lot of players try to drive and can do it. I was probably playing in the 320s on Sunday. And he was, you know, he bogeyed 15 to go down two. And I thought at that point, with three holes to go, that Finau had wrapped up the golf tournament. But then again, I also remember the fact that Tony Finau had not brought his A game all Sunday long. I mean, he was not playing well. He was one over making the turn. And he finally made a clutch putt on the 10th. To save par, and then he was able to, pick up a couple of birdies at 12 and 13, and then that bogey at 15, all of a sudden, you know, you've got Simpson down too. But they went to 16, which is one of the most unique holes in golf, 20,000 people in that stadium watching him play this par three. And I'll tell you what, Alyssa, people don't realize there's a huge number of people around 17 and 18 as well. The 16th gets a lot of play because of what it is, but there's a lot of grandstands and chalets and double-decker, triple-decker grandstands around 17 and 18. So, they both par 16, so it's still two shots. But then, unfortunately for Finau, he had a tee shot straight on 17, but put it in a there's a little pot bunker that's about 310 yards out there, or maybe 300. And there was no way, shape, or form where that flag was, where he was going to try to get close to that pin with his second shot. Simpson had driven the green or just, you know, just off it. I was able to two-putt for birdie. Finau made par, so it's one shot, Tony going 18. And then on 18, Simpson's got 17 feet, Finau 8 for birdie, and Webb makes his first. And I thought, I called Tony's birdie putt, I thought he'd made it, and it just curled in front of the hole. So that sent us to the playoff, and then at 18, Webb did it again, another birdie, and he's a champion.
What do you think Tony Finau is going to learn from this? What will it take for him to get back into this position?
Well, he's got the game. He's worked on his putting. That's been the big thing the last couple of years. And he's had a lot of second-place finishes, Alyssa.
He has.
Since his first win on the PGA Tour, which is now some 4 years ago in Puerto Rico. So he's got the game. He's, you know, his drive on 18 on the 72nd hole when he failed to make birdie and Webb made his drive was 366 yards. And he had, you know, just a little wedge into the green. So he's got the game. I think a lot of it's between the ears. And it wasn't so much that he lost that golf tournament, but Webb came out and won it. And he even admitted as such when I interviewed him after the round. He said, you know what? Webb birdied those holes when he had to. I didn't. You know, get all the credit to Webb. They were President's Cup teammates.
Yeah.
They're good friends. Their wives are good friends. So it was a bitter loss for Finau, and I think he will, you know, you learn from adversity, and he's had enough of that, trying to win golf tournaments the last few years. His time will come sooner than later.
Bill Rozinski with us just a few more minutes. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show, Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. You can listen to him, and I don't want to digress too much, but what is it like, or what was it like for you, Bill, covering the waste management? I mean, that's a crazy atmosphere, and you talk about hole 16, and that's the crown jewel of the tournament, that legendary par 3.
Well, it's just a number of people there, Alyssa. Saturday's the biggest crowd. Sunday it gets a little bit smaller because you get more diehard golf fans out there, and the Super Bowl's going on. So different crowd, although there's still a lot of people out there. But you can have 150,000 people on that golf course. Now just think about that.
Wow.
There's 20,000 at 17, and there's probably another 10 or 15,000 around the last two holes. And then the rest of the people are out partying or doing something or they're actually watching on the golf course. And you realize that, you know, a U.S. Open might have 40,000 tickets for people to go out there. The Masters doesn't have that many people out there. The PGA doesn't. The Open Championship can have big crowds because they have big grandstands, but there's nothing like this. I mean, it's roars and cheers on Thursday and Friday that you will never have at any other normal stop on the PGA Tour. They embrace it. They have discontinued the headcount for, you know, the number of people that attend the golf tournament.
Yeah.
And they focus more on charity. But it's just, you have to experience it to get a feel for what it's like at 16 and really at a number of other spots on that golf course, just because of the massive humanity out there. And most of them are having a really good time when they get there, let alone when the golf starts.
That's a tournament we definitely want to experience. We are up against the clock. Check him out, Sirius XM PGA Tour Radio. He is simply the best, Bill Rozinski. Thank you so much, Bill. We look forward to another conversation down the road.
Sure, Alyssa, anytime. Thanks for calling.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, we are back. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Alyssa Walker Campbell with you, guiding you through the fastest 2 hours in radio. Many different ways to connect. Join us at Twitter, at eRadio Sports Info, eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com. And did you know that it is O Reward Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts? Stop in today for store. Plus, you can earn double O Reward Bonus Points on all sale items like wiper blades, motor oil, tools, accessories, and so much more. Perhaps you are not an O Rewards member yet. They make it so easy. You can sign up online or in store and take advantage of Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. It's fast, it's easy, and it's free. But hurry, double points are only available for a limited time. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Okay, deep breath here. The 2019 NFL season, it is officially complete, and we can now focus and on the 2020 season and the quest to get to Super Bowl 55. So we're delighted to have back with us, that is Neil Greenberg, sports writer with the Washington Post. Good evening. Nice to have you back with us, Neil.
It's great to be back. How are you?
I'm doing great. It was an epic fourth quarter comeback by the Chiefs. So let's do a recap here of Super Bowl 54. As a result, the Chiefs win their first Super Bowl title in 50 years. What was your biggest takeaway from just a wonderful game and a wonderful matchup?
I actually thought it was more of a loss by the 49ers than a win by the Chiefs. I know the 49ers, to me, at least made some questionable calls starting with the end of the first half. I think the biggest takeaway, though, was how little confidence Kyle Shanahan seemed to have in Jimmy Garoppolo. I mean, leading up to that game, he wasn't really using him all that much, only had him pass 9 times in the game before. Just didn't really feel like he was going to be a big part of the offense in the Super Bowl. So that was a little bit surprising considering the all they've given up to get Garoppolo and the money they've used to sign him. But a lot of questions surrounding Kyle Shanahan in terms of is he the right guy for these type of situations? Because this is the second Super Bowl in a row, collapse, I should say, that he's been a part of.
Mm-hmm. Washington Post Neil Greenberg with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. That was going to be one of my questions to you this evening was, did the Chiefs win it or did the 49ers blow it? So it sounds like, they blew a huge opportunity. You know, they were outscored, 21-0 in the final 6 minutes of the game. It was a very big meltdown. You mentioned the head coach, Kyle Shanahan. Is that ultimately who you hold responsible for this loss and blame?
Without a doubt. I mean, you look at his play calling going into the half. He was content with just taking a 10-10 lead. But, you know, we've seen how good this Chiefs can be, especially in terms of scoring in bunches. And to not get at least 3 points on the board, I think, was a miss. And there was just some other calls within the game in terms of the run-pass mix. It just didn't seem like Kyle Shanahan had any counterpunches to what the Chiefs were doing. I just think it was a collapse by them. And, you have to give credit to the Chiefs, of course, because, you know, the 49ers had one of the best defenses coming in, and they were able to dictate what they wanted to do. But it just seemed like this was a game that the 49ers had a chance of winning, and they just let it slip through their fingers.
Well, the criticism has been heavy when we talk about head coach Kyle Shanahan. You know, will the fans, are they willing to be patient with him? I mean, he is a young coach. What is he, 34?
Yeah, he's certainly young, I think. But again, I mean, this is the second collapse in, 3 years that he's been a part of. And, you know, you mentioned how much they were outscored in the fourth quarter. I think now Shanahan's been outscored like 47-0 in the fourth quarter over those two Super Bowls. And, you know, for someone that's billed as an offensive genius, that just seems to be a little amount of points being scored.
Mm-hmm,
I mean,
yeah.
You and I scored 0 points over that same time frame. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Neil Greenberg with us tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hey, Neil, connect with our audience. Where can they check out some of your stuff with the Washington Post online?
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at N Greenberg and also in the sports section of the Washington Post. There's an author page there. You can see everything that I've written over there for sure. Just search for my name.
Okay, we are recapping Super Bowl 54. And all I've got to say is, Neil, that's got to be one of the greatest turnarounds in NFL history. Just your assessment of what the Chiefs were able to do. They never stopped believing.
Yeah. I mean, this is a team that no matter how many points they were down, you could never consider them out. I mean, they overcame a 21-0 deficit against the Tennessee Titans in the AFC Championship game. As I said, their offense is very efficient, especially, you know, with Patrick Mahomes under center. And, you know, Patrick Mahomes, I don't think he even had anything close to his best game, but he was able to deliver the ball when needed. And, you know, he was supported by the running game and Damian Williams. So being able to, you know, have that type of star power, Mahomes, tight end Travis Kelce, wide out Tyreek Hill, and then obviously Damian Williams running the ball, I mean, that's a lot to have to deal with if you're an opposing defense. And, you know, the Chiefs showed and Andy Reid showed that they, no matter what the circumstances, they always have to be viewed as a contender. I think that's why they're the favorite to win Super Bowl next year as well. And it's going to be very difficult. I think teams will have to, you know, they won't be able to consider any lead safe, I think, after this postseason run by Kansas City, because it just seems to evaporate if the Chiefs can start to get clicking in any way.
Is this the start of the dynasty for the Chiefs? Because it is crazy to think Patrick Mahomes is only in his third season, or was in his only third season in the NFL. He's 24 years old, and he's both a regular season MVP and a Super Bowl MVP. It's only going to get better, right?
Yeah, I mean, he'll certainly, it's kind of hard to think of what his ceiling is going to be. But, he's also going to soak up more of the salary cap once his contract comes out, when his contract comes up for renewal. And that's really the biggest equalizer in the NFL. So I'm hesitant to say that this team will be a dynasty only because, a lot of the money that they have to pay other players, other star players, will now be soaked up at the quarterback position. You have to consider them a Super Bowl contender. You have to consider them, one of the favorites. And it would not surprise me in any way if they won another championship next year. But it's been so hard to repeat as champions in the NFL. There's so much parity. I'm hesitant to say that we're looking at the next dynasty only because in the salary cap era, it becomes way too difficult.
Just curious, too, when we talk about the Chiefs, obviously so much attention with head coach Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. Who are some of the unsung heroes of Super Bowl 54 that perhaps do deserve some more credit, Neil?
Well, I think the offensive line, for sure. They receive one of the best blocking grades, run blocking grades, franchise history since 2008. They ended up being one of the highest graded run blocking units that Pro Football Focus has ever graded. And then also, Breshad Breeland, I think, was one of the best defenders. The defensive line for gets a lot of attention, but I think that Breshad Breeland showed how good he is in coverage, and is probably every bit as good as Richard Sherman purports to be for 49ers.
Okay, let's hit on some other NFL news and notes. Neil Greenberg from the Washington Post is with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. Where would you like to see Tom Brady next year?
Where would I like to see him?
Yeah.
I don't know, probably retired. I have a hard time seeing him anywhere other than a New England uniform. I know there's a lot of talk about where he could go, and people are tracking like what real estate's up for sale and where he's traveling. But I've always looked at Belichick and Brady as kind of a match set, and I'd be surprised if one retired without the other. So if you're asking me to pick a location, I'd probably say he'll stay with New England.
Okay, so kind of give us the backstory as far as why would he consider going anywhere else? I mean, there's been talk, we could perhaps see him in Vegas with the Raiders, but why is he restless? What's going on there?
It could be money. I mean, he's taken a discount in other years, and it sounds like he doesn't want to take a discount anymore. Maybe it's because he sees how much these other quarterbacks are making that don't have nearly the resume that he does. And also, he's over the age of 40, so his earning potential, the window to earn is not as wide as it used to be. So my guess is that the only real reason for him to go would be because he wants more money. I don't think anyone is looking to write off the Patriots as anything less than, let's say, the AFC East division winner, which makes them a playoff team. But they're always a threat to be one of the top seeds in the conference. So it really would just be a financial situation. But that's just me speculating.
Okay, and since we're on the subject of quarterbacks, let's talk about my Dallas Cowboys. I mean, does Dak deserve to be paid like a top-tier quarterback? They're 8-8 this year.
I actually do think so. And
why?
He's perennially one of the most valuable quarterbacks by a lot of the advanced metrics. I know ESPN's total quarterback rating has him very high. There's another metric called expected points that True Media tracks, which just means how many points more did that quarterback's team score with him passing the ball. And the Cowboys led the league this year. So there's actually another argument to be made that Dak Prescott was more valuable than even Lamar Jackson in terms of putting points on the board. That's not going to show up in the traditional stats like passer rating and yards per attempt. But I think Dallas makes a smart move of franchising him, making sure that he doesn't go anywhere. And I think Dak Prescott is probably one of the better quarterbacks in the league. Perhaps that's masked a bit by how the Dallas team does overall. But I think that he's in a perfect spot.
Our time's running down. Do you believe he can lead Dallas to a Super Bowl?
I think he could lead the team to the playoffs, and then from there, it's tough. But the NFC East is not really the strongest of divisions, as you know. So I think that they're going to need a little bit more complementary pieces. The offensive line tends to do well. They probably need to get a good, dependable receiver. They obviously have the running game, so I think the offense can certainly be there. A Super Bowl run is a little bit difficult considering, uh-huh, you know, who's in front of them, but they're certainly a playoff contender without a doubt.
Good stuff. Washington Post, Neil Greenberg.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Many different ways to connect. We would love to hear from you this evening. Join us at Twitter at eradiosportsinfo, eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. Always got to take time to thank and recognize the folks that make it happen, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think of them for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Well, did the Chiefs win it or did the 49ers blow it? We're going to continue with our Super Bowl 54 recap. Thrilled to have with us national sports columnist with the Washington Post, and that is Mr. Jerry Brewer. Good evening, Jerry. First time on the show.
Yes, I'm very excited. Thanks for having me.
Well, what a game. I know you were there. So many highlights. And tonight on the program, we focused a lot on the Chiefs, but I want to start off our conversation about the 49ers. And in your mind, Jerry, who is most responsible for the 49ers Super Bowl loss?
You have to split the pie three ways. Kyle Shanahan, Jimmy Garoppolo, you know, especially the pass that he missed to Emmanuel Sanders, which would have changed the whole complexity of that comeback. And then I put it on their vaunted defense, which for 3.5 quarters, as great as that defense has been all year, that was their signature performance. And then they fell apart down the stretch. So you gotta slice the blame pie three ways. However, if I'm going to put it slightly more on one person, mm-hmm, I'm going to put it on the head coach, who as an offensive coordinator was responsible in part for 28-3, and now he has 20-10 on his resume.
Yeah. It's been a brutal week for Kyle Shanahan, and, you know, I just have to wonder, I mean, he's taken a lot of blame. Does he deserve it? I mean, did you agree with his play calling? Just overall, what kind of grade would you have given him in this particular Super Bowl?
You know, again, it's like that defense. I mean, for three and a half quarters, he was doing just fine, and then he fell apart. I mean, I think ultimately I'm going to give more credit to the Chiefs than I do blame to the 49ers. But I would say that was probably about a C-plus performance all in all for Kyle Shanahan, and he was probably in the A's for three quarters, and then it was a D-minus at best in the fourth quarter. And, you know, players have to execute what you're calling. Mm-hmm. There were some opportunities there, just like I mentioned that Garoppolo throw to Emmanuel Sanders that he flat out missed. However, I keep going back to right after the Chiefs had scored, the Niners come out to make it 20-17. The Niners come out. Mostert gets 5 yards on first down. You're talking second and five. You're playing a game against the clock as well as trying to move the ball there. And the clock is ticking from 6 minutes, and you're hoping, you know, at minimum, you're hoping to at least shave 2.5 minutes off of that clock. And you can, you know, maybe even more than that, if you can get one first down, you're not necessarily looking to like score there, but second and five, you know, they throw a pass, Chris Jones tips it, bats it down, and the clock stops, and then third down, an errant pass, and they only get like 47 seconds off of the clock on, mm-hmm, that possession. Three and out, have to punt it back, and then we know what happened. And I think if he had to be ultra critical of himself there, it's just, if you're the Niners, the most intricate run game in the NFL that isn't the Baltimore Ravens, run the ball. You got 2 downs, 5 yards. Run it on second down. And you, maybe you get a couple yards there. Then you're in a 3rd and 3, and your whole entire playbook is open at 3rd and 3. And that's what they should have done there. And I think if he's going to lament anything, I think he's going to lament that decision on 2nd and 5.
National sports columnist Jerry Brewer with us from the Washington Post tonight, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Hey, Jerry, let's pause and connect with our audience. Where can they go to find some of your articles online at the Washington Post?
You can go to, it's actually pretty simple. It's WashingtonPost.com/Brewer, B-R-E-W-E-R.
And you can also follow
Jerry.
That's
where you can find me.
Yeah, and also on Twitter, what, at Jerry Brewer, is that right?
At Jerry Brewer, yes.
Very good. Okay, so as we break down, you know, the 49ers, I mean, how do you view now Kyle Shanahan after this loss?
I view him as what he is, a very dynamic, outstanding young offensive mind. He's 40 years old. If he had won that Super Bowl, he would have been the 3rd youngest coach to win a Super Bowl. So he's not a finished product. And I think maybe we got carried away with how much of a genius he is too soon. But I do think that if anyone has a chance to be, say, the next Andy Reid or whatever offensive mind that you want to, say, define an era now or before, I still think it's Kyle Shanahan who's got a chance to win a championship, maybe even win multiple championships, and be someone who sort of changed the game with the way that he thought about offense. And I believe he's still on that path. I mean, he's got some pain and some misery in his narrative, but that's not always a bad thing in sports. I mean, we want everything to be pretty and perfect, but he's going to be a better coach because of these experiences.
Absolutely. And what a journey. You think of the Chiefs head coach, Andy Reid. He cements his coaching legacy and finally gets his Super Bowl win. So talk to me, Jerry. I mean, why do you think it took so long for Andy Reid to win a Super Bowl? He was waiting on Mahomes' magic, M squared, right?
yes, he absolutely was. I mean, he never had. I mean, Mahomes is his Brett Favre, you know, to go back to his Green Bay days and Mike Holmgren and Favre and what they were able to accomplish together. Or it's his Tom Brady, if you want to talk about Bill Belichick and Tom Brady and just the unrivaled success that they've had together. You know, he had good quarterbacks in the past. I mean, Donovan McNabb was very good, and he had Alex Smith, and he did some nice things in reviving the career of Michael Vick, and even there were guys like Kevin Cobb and other players that he developed. But this guy is on another level. I mean, this is McNabb's going to come up short of the Hall of Fame, in my opinion. Patrick Mahomes, if he continues the way that he should, is on a Hall of Fame track. He's only 2 years into it, so he's got a lot of longevity to attach to that. But he's on a Hall of Fame track, and he's on a top shelf of the Hall of Fame track. So I think that's ultimately what it is that finally he has the quarterback and he has the pieces as well. I mean, you know, that's a track team that can catch the football that they have with all of their weapons on offense. So this was finally the right team. And I think he went through a lot of pain and a lot of experiences. We made fun of his clock management and all of those other things, and it just made him a better coach. And we forget about that. It's not, especially in professional sports, you're not going to win all the time. You can be great, and you can lose, or you can lose in the high profile moments. But it's about what you learn, how you evolve, what the game teaches you. And the game taught Andy Reid plenty, and now he's back with the most modern offense in the NFL. And maybe he would stick to his ways if he had had more success early. And he's back with a fun, dynamic team that I think the sports needed. You know, they remind me of the Golden State Warriors. They're the Golden State Warriors of football, because not only do they score a lot of points, not only are they a touchdown waiting to happen and 21 points in 6 minutes waiting to happen, but there's a lot of joy to the way that they play. And that's the thing that reminds me of Golden State.
National sports columnist with the Washington Post, Jerry Brewer, with us tonight. SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Give him a follow on Twitter at Jerry Brewer. You know, let's talk now about Patrick Mahomes. And he had, of course, I would say one of the greatest seasons ever as a quarterback. Give us your early impression of him when he arrived with the Chiefs. I mean, did you think he would have instant success and that it would happen so quickly?
I had no idea. I mean, I thought he was just this raw gunslinger, and it was like, huh, that's an interesting risk. You traded up to 10 to get him.
Uh-huh.
You're not going to play him as a rookie. Alex Smith looked really good that year and the Chiefs system, then all of a sudden, boom, they traded him. They traded Alex Smith to the Redskins, and it was like, okay, they're going to turn this thing over to Patrick Mahomes. What's he got? From the first start of the 2018 season, you knew, like, this is a different animal. Like, mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
You know, he's not this raw gunslinger. He's just a gunslinger. And he's athletic. He can move. He can throw from so many different arm angles. It's like it's a shortstop back there playing quarterback in a lot of ways. And so he was immediately captivating. And you keep waiting. And mind you, I mean, he hasn't made two full seasons worth of starts yet because he got hurt and missed a little bit of time this year. You're still waiting for that moment of like, okay, the fairy tale is going to end. The pixie dust is going to blow away. The league is going to figure him out, and then we'll see what he's really got. And now all of a sudden, he's won an MVP, Super Bowl, in which he was the MVP of the Super Bowl. And for the first time in league history, we have something we've never seen, which is an under 25 champion, MVP of the league, and Super Bowl MVP at quarterback. And you have to start to wonder, maybe he's just one of those rare generational transcendent figures that we've never seen, who's going to give us an opportunity to see the game differently. And that's a heck of a responsibility to put on someone who's 24, but I think he has that chance to be that kind of guy.
Should the Chiefs reward him with a record contract?
There is no should. It's just like, when now?
Okay.
When will the Chiefs reward him with a record contract? There's a little bit of a salary cap gymnastics, and I don't want to get too into the weeds on it. You know, there's a lot of fine details. It's going to probably take longer than what people imagine because they're likely going to want to attach it after next season's deal. And it has to do with you know, the amount of new money on a contract. And you want to get it a little closer to when his current deal is expiring so that you just don't, you know, really like go crazy in new money for him. But that's all just kind of just a real fine issue that it would take about 15 minutes to describe it. But ultimately, I think it's going to, you know, it's probably going to be more around like 9 months, 12 months before this is done. But when it's done, he will be the first $40 million man in the NFL.
Our Super Bowl 54 recap continues with Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Having a good time on this Friday. We're going to continue our Super Bowl 54 recap with Jerry Brewer from the Washington Post. Jerry, talk to me about, as far as what did you learn about this young man, his ability to improvise, to keep believing even when his team is down. I mean, what, they score 21 unanswered points and they get the win over the 49ers. How did he rally the boys?
I mean, it's incredible. I mean, you know, I mean, we've
really
been talking
is.
Since last year about him signing a $200 million contract in total, being a $40 million per season quarterback. But it takes more than just numbers. It's more than coming out and throwing for 5,000 yards, as rare as that is, for 50 touchdowns, as rare as that is. It's more than
throwing no look passes, which is just ridiculous, or breaking the rule that you shouldn't throw across your body into the middle of a defense. You know, all of these things that he does that just make your jaw drop are incredible. But there is a grit to play in the position. There's a toughness. There's a mettle that a quarterback needs to have, and there's a belief that he needs to inspire. Someone taught me long ago the difference between, you know, a bad quarterback, a good quarterback, and a great quarterback is this, and that is when they're getting their butts kicked, when the pocket is dirty, when they're getting sacked a lot, when they're making bad throws, maybe throwing interceptions, when things are not nice and neat for them, when they finally get the opportunity to have a clean pocket and a wide receiver that's running open, mm-hmm. do they make the play or not? A great quarterback makes it 90% of the time. You know, a good one can step up and maybe do that about 60% of the time. A bad quarterback is just going to let the cumulative effect of everything that's happened affect him in that moment. And when Tyreek Hill went running wide open there for that on 3rd and 15,
yep.
Patrick Mahomes stepped up and made that play. He underthrew him. And maybe that's him being a little too careful because of everything that had happened. But he stepped up and made that play. And then it was just like the light switch turned on. And he went to another level. And when you talk to guys after the game, he was telling everyone, you have to believe. You have to believe. I feel it. I know this is going to happen. And there's something special about, you know, that quarterback who never gives up. And when he's in the huddle and you know he's a great player and he's looking into your eyes saying this is going to work,
mm-hmm.
everybody blocks a little harder. Everybody runs their routes a little faster. Everyone is a little tougher. And we saw that. I think we knew that he had that, but I think we finally saw that on a grand stage. And that's never going to leave him. You know, you think about Elway and the drive. You think about Joe Montana to John Taylor. You think about all these things these great quarterbacks have done again and again. You know, Brady, Eli Manning, and those, you know, all of these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Russell Wilson is a never-say-die type of guy. Aaron Rodgers perfecting the Hail Mary. Patrick Mahomes has that. You know, he's not just a gunslinger who is going to fall apart when the game is at its heart.